This is a clip from Understanding Propaganda. The entire episode is available on Rockfin and free on all podcast platforms. You can click the link in the description to access the entire episode now.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Understanding Propaganda. On this week's show, we are going to take another stroll down memory lane, and we are going to examine some of the wartime propaganda that we are all familiar with that came from World War II. The article I want to highlight today is from a guy named John Ware and his website, wearswar.com, WEARSWAR.com. His article is entitled, Hitler's Euthanasia Program Proves There Was No Holocaust. Section 1, Evidence for the German Euthanasia Program Compared to the Holocaust. I've been asked the question, why do you think the German euthanasia program happened during World War II, but not the Holocaust? This article will show that the evidence for the German euthanasia program is overwhelming, while the evidence to support the Holocaust story is severely lacking. I wanted to highlight this article in particular because it really did a fantastic job of pulling from all the various sources to kind of cover the evidence for both the euthanasia program, the alleged gas chambers during the Holocaust, but really it is a great piece to study the contrast between reality and the post-war fiction that we have all come to understand. So in August of 1939, Hitler let it be known to his close associates that he approved any measure which could be seen as delivering handicapped patients from pain and suffering. Probably in the late autumn or winter of 1939, Hitler backdated a document to September 1st, 1939 that authorized the euthanasia program. The authorization states, Reich leader Buhler and Dr. Med Brandt are charged with the responsibility of enlarging the powers of specific physicians designated by name so that the patients who, on the basis of human judgment, are considered incurable, can be granted mercy death after the most careful assessment of their condition. Historians have acknowledged that no similar document of a plan by Germany to exterminate European Jewry has ever been found. In his well-known book on the Holocaust, French Jewish historian Leon Poliakov states that the campaign to exterminate the Jews as regards its conception as well as many other essential aspects remains shrouded in darkness. Poliakov adds that no document of a plan for exterminating the Jews has ever been found because, quote, perhaps none ever existed, end quote. British historian Ian Kershaw states that when the Soviet archives were opened publicly in the early 1990s, quote, predictably, a written order by Hitler for the final solution was not found. The presumption that a single explicit written order had ever been given had long been dismissed by most historians. The lack of a written order for the extermination of European Jewry led to Raoul Hilberg's famous explanation of how the Holocaust happened. Quote, what began in 1941 was a process of destruction not planned in advance, not organized centrally by any agency. There was no blueprint and there was no budget for destructive measures. They were taken step by step, one at a time. Thus came about not so much a plan being carried out, but an incredible meeting of the minds, a consensus mind reading by a far-flung bureaucracy. Now, just based on that statement of Hilberg alone, and Hilberg is definitely the father of modern Holocaust lore. He was really the first historian who began to look for evidence and thus construct a story that the Nazis did in fact have a plan of execution for all the Jews in Europe, even though that none of us have ever seen those documents. And really, when you start to understand Hilberg's motivation and the cohorts which ultimately wrote the Holocaust narrative, such as Jean-Claude Prussac, who wrote Technique and Operation of the Gas Chamber, you'll really find that there were only three or four Holocaust historians who emerged in the late 1960s with their theories of the crime. And the problem with them is that all of them seem to just refer to each other's books. So when you read Hilberg, he'll refer to Prussac. Prussac will refer to another historian, and that historian will refer back to Hilberg. So you have this kind of closed loop of historians communicating with each other, but never really having any underlying references to pull from. So they just pulled from each other's work.